Hey folks, welcome into the Dublin to Denver podcast on the Mile High Report podcast network. We are in week 12 now of this NFL. I mean, I've literally got to the point now where I'm dreading each week with this team. But look, I am not dreading talking to these two young buckos or young gentlemen. First off, Colm, you're joining us from Minnesota. I watched Fargo a few years ago, and obviously, Colm, your in-laws and half your family is from Minnesota. So you go over most Thanksgivings. Welcome in, and obviously welcome in to Stuart as well. Colm, you were at the game last week. Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. It has been, 4 days now since your last confession, or what's the...
I'm actually in Fargo country, Michael. So Brainerd and the Paul Bunyan statue and various other bits and pieces that people might recognize from either the movie or from the TV show, which was one of the better adaptations, I would have to say. Firstly, the crack was mighty, and kudos the Sons of Mile High. For anyone listening, Sons of Mile High tailgate is absolutely phenomenal.
Great guys.
If you are going to a game, great guys, great guys. And if you are going to a game, cannot recommend their tailgate highly enough. So welcoming and, really great people. And look, the game itself, we'll probably get into it. What I will say is it does seem to be finally a week of consequences in the NFL. Obviously, we have Melvin Gordon, who is no longer on the roster. And as we record this right now, Zach Wilson has lost his starting job with the Jets. And I hear Davis Mills is out in Texas, which is interesting. So, yeah, we'll delve into it. But suffice to say, great trip to Denver.
Yep, and it's funny because folks, your Colm's on his iPhone, but he signed on 100%. So if he does sound a wee bit clanky in this episode, he's in the middle of nowhere basically, and he's it's all good. It's great to have Colm on, Stuart. Stuart, let's cut to the chase here, mates. What the hell was that? Eh? And we talked about this off camera before we started recording this, and I know you had the viewpoint of it's let's get through the season here. He needs to go. I sound like Jose Mourinho whenever he said, if I speak, I will get in trouble. That's what it seems like at the minute for me. But Hackett has to go, surely now.
Well, I think he would have been. I think, Michael, you'd said that the Broncos are going to get blown out. I think I said they'd lose by a field goal, and Colm said they'd win. I'm just going to gloat slightly because Colm's usually the one who gets these things right. We get them wrong, but I think if they had been blown out by the Raiders, they may well have said goodbye to Hackett. But I think, as I said, I'd be surprised if he was done before the end of the season. I can see both sides as to why it would make a change. Sometimes you need to make a statement about the kind of culture that you're trying to create. I mean, the only thing would be, I guess because this is a new regime in Denver, you hope that they don't do what they've done previously with two inept head coaches that were at the helm in Vance Joseph and our old friend Vic, where, the vast majority of Broncos fans and anybody who'd ever watched a game of football could see quite clearly in their first season that they were miles out of the depth and absolutely useless. And we somehow managed to give both of them another season. So you kind of hope that that's not going to be the case with Hackett, because it's abundantly clear now that the guy isn't cut out for the job. The only thing I would say, Mick, is that the schedule after the Panthers game, although in fairness the Panthers defense was very good at the weekend, but after the Panthers game the schedule was absolutely brutal. So
Sam Darnold as well, Stuart, starting for the Panthers this week, so it's almost like no excuses as well.
Well, we have been saying that all season now, Michael. That's the problem. We seem to somehow find the offense finds an excuse week in, week out. But no, my point is, Michael, I think the there's no sort of fool's gold coming down the line where we could pick up a couple of wins towards the end of the season and kind of go, oh, no, we finished the season strongly. So Hackett deserves another crack at it. This season ending is brutal. So if anything, we may end up losing 4 or 5 in a row. As I think we touched on last week, I don't know where we're getting 6 wins from this season. You know, we're on three. We probably will get one at the weekend against the Panthers, although somehow we'll probably make up Hames of that. But after that, you know, maybe the Rams, maybe the Cardinals, but I don't know. We'll somehow, we'll probably lose one of those games, games we should be winning. We just, you know, and God forbid, I don't know. I mean, there's talk now that the Chiefs game that was on Sunday Night Football might be flexed out. You know, and that's kind of...
That's sort of definitely happened. That is a hot... Stuart, I will put my car on that happening. But it's, 100%.
That's kind of like a... There's a kind of pick your poison in that regard, because it kind of going, if it's on Sunday Night Football, then I can kind of watch the YouTube highlights the next day with one eye closed and kind of never, ever refer to it again. But if it's flexed back towards a sort of a normal kickoff time for us over here in Europe, then you go, I kind of have to watch this. So, yeah, I mean, look, I can kind of see why you think Hackett should be gone. Obviously, Michael, you want some kind of statement, and I think it sort of speaks to the future as to what way the franchise is going, but I can kind of understand why they didn't. You know, and they sort of got rid of Melvin Gordon, who seemed to play the role of the sacrificial lamb. Mm-hmm. And I had a degree of sympathy for Melvin Gordon until his dreadful meme that he posted then subsequently about driving away from the Denver Broncos fans. And I think anyone who had a little bit of sympathy for Melvin kind of immediately went. So good riddance if that's the way you felt about us all the time there. But we'll come back to Melvin later on. But no, I think Hackett's probably with us till the end of the season, Michael.
Yeah, we'll probably touch on Melvin next before we look at this Panthers game this week. Colm, I want to touch on, and I completely understand and get Stuart's viewpoint, because, you know, yeah, we're at the point now where you probably should be given the rest of the season because there's not much point. But I refer back to Wembley, which seems like a lifetime ago now, three or 4 weeks ago. The man was out if he lost that game. He was not surviving that flight back. So what the hell does 20 days difference make? That's what pisses me off. And I'm saying stuff like pissing me off because I see like our friend Ryan Koningsberg tweeting that if we had scored, what was it, like a touchdown or something, or scored points in the fourth, I haven't got the exact terminology up, but if we had scored like a one score, if it was a field goal or a touchdown in the fourth quarter in each game, we'd be sitting, what, 9-1? So it's like, it just pisses me off. Like, we've had so much promise for months. London was a great experience, and you felt like we really turned the corner then. And then this has happened, and it's very frustrating. I don't see the difference between October the 30th and now. I think if you're the Walton Penner family, I think it's great that we got new ownership, and I think they really impressed me in London with the way the Broncos done excellent in London, to be fair to them, the way that they done everything. But I think the man needs to be pulled out of his misery. And okay, you can give the defensive duties up, the offensive duties up, but surely at some point, like, we still have a good, what, like 6, 7, 8 weeks left of this crop. This is not good. It's not good, Colm, at all.
No, it's not good. But I again go back. The issue is who would take over. The way in which, I mean, I think honestly, the franchise kind of needs branch reform. And that's not to say that George Payton should be fired in any way, shape, or form, but the franchise needs to take a step back and look at the way in which this coaching staff was set up. The fact that the play calling duties went not to the OC, but to the QB coach, right? That's a damning indictment of Hackett. But the man he appointed to be his OC, his right-hand man, essentially, is not up to calling plays. That there is nobody on the roster who could, or, you know, amongst the coaching staff, who would be an obvious, like, is it going to be good to Tom Capers? Is that where we're at? I think that there needs to be an entire root and branch review of how the situation was allowed. How was the coaching staff put together? How was the decision made to give Russell Wilson the extension? To be a rush to get it done, especially given the ownership situation had been resolved at that point, right? So we were no longer a cash poor team. So they could have waited to see how it went. And I would say what should terrify the franchise, and I say this as a fan who spends money to go over to Denver to see it, the apathy, Michael. the anger is not there. People are apathetic. That should absolutely terrify the franchise, that people are just so fed up. Two examples. Going through U.S. Customs and Immigration, talking to the immigration officer, he was laughing about the Broncos. He was mocking Russell Wilson. I ended up flying into New York, having a layover there. The way in, they got some food in New York City. And in Denver, I arrived in Denver a couple of days before Sunday. Scene told him I was going to the game on Sunday. I said, no, I don't even watch anymore. It's just the same. So the franchise should be absolutely terrified by that. The fact that people are finding other things to do on a Sunday. And to me, I mean, we started off well last week, and obviously with Clint calling plays, but I knew we hadn't turned a corner when the third quarter, you know, we were back. We are the worst quarter team in the entirety of the league. I don't even know why we play third quarters, because nothing happens. We just don't do anything on offense. And it was the exact same last Sunday. So it is bleak, certainly, at the moment. And yeah, we really are at a point where we cannot wait for the season to end. But obviously, you know, like, looking at it now, given what Seattle are going to be picking, you know, it's hindsight, but I mean, what a decision it has all proven to be. And outside of the defense, there are very few, you know, bright sparks, because you look at it and how will Javonte come back from that knee injury? You know, the wide receivers just haven't stepped up. Obviously, Tim Patrick is injured, but neither Cortland Sutton nor Jerry Jeudy have looked, you know, fantastic. The O-line needs serious work, and we got to figure out Russ. Yeah, there are all sorts of question marks hanging over this franchise right now.
Stuart's Columns internet played up very well there. I have to give it to AT&T or Verizon or whoever it is. Definitely got some good points across, and I think it shows you the inept and the sort of what's going on in Denver. Like, people are transferring from being angry to not caring. Now, I am not in that situation yet, but it's very hard to get excited about these last few weeks, especially when, and you mentioned it, Stuart, it does seem like if we go into this conversation, to me, it looks as if this whole getting rid of Melvin Gordon thing is to cover the cracks for a few weeks. Am I wrong in thinking that? Would you agree with that, or what's your thoughts there?
Yeah, I would, Michael. I think, look, at the end of the day, a running back that fumbles as much as he does is a massive problem. It's unfortunate, because I think he's probably the running back we have with the most burst. Lavonte Murray has done a nice job. He runs hard. You know, he's not knocking off 25, 30, 40 yarders anytime soon. And also, Melvin Gordon was probably the best pass-blocking running back we had. So that's gone. Also, Edmonds, who we brought in only a couple of weeks ago, who was also a pass-catching running back out of the backfield, probably our third down back. He was to replace Mike Boone. He's done for the season now as well. So we have Mack, who we signed to the practice squad a while ago. You'll probably see him elevated. But, you know, going into the season, the run game was considered to be one of the strong points of the Broncos. Then Javonte went down and Gordon is gone. Now, the other thing with Gordon, Michael, I think, you know, if we can leave aside his very, very salty farewell message, he had the really unfortunate habit of, and this may sound stupid, but bear with me, he had the unfortunate habit of fumbling at the worst possible time. Like, Melvin Gordon seemed to keep most of his fumbles for when we were inside the 10-yard line. Critical moments in critical games. And, you know, considering how rare the Broncos actually managed to get into the red zone to then fumble the thing, like, that fumble at the weekend was absolutely crucial, because it should have been, remember even the commentators saying the Broncos are in an incredibly envious position here now because they can run a play and get the clock right down. You know, and clearly the commentator was saying, thinking at worst they get 3 points out of this, but really they should be punched, you know, we should be thinking about scoring this here and leaving little or no time on the clock. To not come away with even 3 points from that situation was a game changer. Because I think we had played quite well in the first half, and I thought Kubiak's play calling was at least interesting and it gave a bit of freshness to us, you know, and I didn't think another touchdown would have flattered us in that situation. Then he fumbles. And honestly, Michael, to be honest with you, and I know it went to overtime and I know we were close and there was lots of different factors, but I think I know myself and probably a lot of Broncos fans, when that fumble went in, when that field goal was blocked, you kind of went, yeah, I wonder what the final score in this loss is going to be. And I think that's the apathy is kicking in. It's just, I assume we're going to lose every game we play now. And I assume that the defense will keep the other team honest because the defense are killing themselves week in, week out, and they're performing heroically considering the injuries they have. And can you imagine how frustrating it must be to be a member of that defense, Michael? Can you imagine knowing probably that your efforts are just not going to be good enough? I know you were saying we turned the corner a little bit against the Jaguars, but Michael, we turned the corner. We had a couple of decent plays in the fourth quarter against a diabolical Jaguars team, you know, and I think it sounded like we were kind of talking ourselves up a little bit after that. And you're kind of going, lads, you scraped out of London barely with a win.
I don't think if you had said standing outside Wembley 3 weeks later, Gordon would be released. They would have lost in the manner they did over 2 weeks span, and Hackett would still be there after that whole situation. I don't think we would have believed that for a second.
No, probably not. But I just, you know, the season is in a death spiral now. And unfortunately, we don't even have the draft to look forward to. And as we were saying before we came on air, Michael, the problem at the moment is we do have a first round draft pick, but the 49ers look like they've turned into some kind of efficient killing machine in the NFC. You know, like you looked at them the other night. I know the Cardinals are poor at the moment. They look like they're utilizing the talent. If they can steer clear between now and injury, you know, I wouldn't bet against the 49ers going to the NFC Championship game. I don't know if they'll win it. I think the Eagles are very strong, especially if the Eagles get home field advantage. Wouldn't surprise me at all to see the Niners certainly get into the NFC Championship game or the divisional round. And then we're picking 28 through to 30, 31, whatever. And then you're kind of wondering, you know, we need to desperately fix that O-line. Are you going to get a good tackle, you know, a franchise right tackle, which we haven't had for so long? Are you going to get one to pick 30? You know, and I just go back to what Colin was saying, and I agree. It is new ownership, and these are extraordinarily wealthy people, and they're obviously going to be used to making difficult decisions. There has been a rush, and it's something that I think Broncos fans are guilty of a lot. There was a rush to anoint George Payton as this home run hire that everybody around the league said was going to be fantastic. And look at all his moves, and he's done this and he's pulled the trigger. And look, I was delighted when we made the move for Russell Wilson. But at the end of the day, and it's, you know, there's factors that kind of go into this, this is almost certainly going to be the second losing season that George Payton has overseen. And the moves that he's made, like Pat Surtain is held up as this shining example of why George Payton is this amazing GM. Pat Surtain is a brilliant lockdown corner. Fantastic. Are people desperately defending the Jets GM because Sauce Gardner is a brilliant? No, they're not. So I think we need to be a little bit more critical. I think we need to look. And I do think that if things keep going the way they are, then suddenly George Payton is going to be on the hot seat because he made a move for a quarterback. It hasn't worked out. I would have imagined he had major input into the fact that he was given an extension before he'd thrown a single ball for the Broncos. That looks like it's been a complete disaster. And unfortunately, he's had one opportunity to hire a head coach and a coaching staff, and he's absolutely botched it, apart from Evero, the defensive coordinator. That's been a brilliant pick. And obviously some of the defensive, the personnel below Evero have also done really well. But his big decisions up to this point, you're looking at Pat Surtain, absolutely, yeah, he got that right. Russell Wilson, no, he got that wrong. Russell Wilson, the contract extension, no, he got that wrong. And Hackett was a complete fiasco of a head coach hiring. So George, he talks a good game, and I like a lot of his moves and some of his later draft picks like Baron Browning, you know, people like that. They have Sean and he's done well. But another season, like if we're here this time next year, Michael, and the same thing, and as Colin has been at pains to point out regularly, the cap hit for Wilson gets worse year in, year out. There is not going to be a huge amount of money to go out and make splashy free agent signings. And we don't have that many high-end draft picks for the next couple of years to fix it that way. So Peyton has to be really creative. He's going to need to find free agents. You know, we thought we were going to get the Peyton Manning discount where Russell Wilson's going to come in and suddenly these really brilliant free agents are going to sign for less money because they're trying to win a ring. That's not going to happen. We don't have that many picks in the first three rounds for the next year or two. So he's going to really need to come up with creative ways of making this team competitive. But the first thing he can do to make this team competitive is fire the head coach.
Colin, there's a lot to unbox there, my friend, and I know you have your hand raised in the Zoom call. Can you try and react to that and then transfer yourself in expertly to start talking about this Panthers game on Sunday?
Sure. I agree with a huge number of points that Stuart's made. The only thing I would say, I don't criticize George Payton for the Russell Wilson trade. I criticize the contract extension. I totally understand swinging and giving up what he did to get Russ at that time. It was worth it. And I will make the point, in fairness, Mike Sando from The Athletic, he's a guy who has raised it like over the summer about some, you know, Broncos fans should be pumping the brakes a little bit on Russ. But overall, the vast, vast majority of people were on board. But the contract, that should have been wait and see. The other piece, the coaching staff, yeah, that is, he has to take the blame for that. And like the other thing I would say is that in terms of Pat Surtain, there seems to be some criticism from some quarters about, his play. Like he was going up against possibly the best wide receiver in the entirety of the league. He got burned. Young players, that happens to everybody. So it's no knock on him. He will learn for that, I have no doubt. And he will continue to be a fantastic player. But ultimately, if we hadn't given Russ the extension, would we be talking about releasing Russell Wilson in January, February? I mean, that's the reality of where we're at.
Just one thing, Colm, actually, just in response to what you're saying about Pat Surtain, and also, sorry, I totally agreed with the Russell Wilson trade at the time. You know, I've no problems with that. Nick Ferguson, who's been on the show a couple of times, who's really good on Twitter, he had a really interesting breakdown of that Devontae Adams touchdown. Winning touchdown in overtime. Well worth checking out if you're on Twitter. Go and look at Nick Ferguson. It's a 2-minute video, I think, he breaks down where he defends Pat Surtain. Doesn't say it was completely blameless, but he gives a little bit of insight in regards to the kind of safety help that I think he thought, that Surtain thought was coming his way. So, but it's worth looking at because things are never as black and white. And it's ridiculous that he's getting any kind of shade at the moment, because as Colin pointed out, Devontae Adams is a brilliant technician as a wide receiver. And every cornerback has, Deion Sanders got burnt a couple of times. Champ Bailey got burnt a couple of times. It's going to happen. It's the nature of the beast. It goes with the position.
Right, let's look ahead to this Panthers game on Sunday, right? Sam Darnold coming in a quarterback. Just when you think that, things might get easier. Lads, I'm just going to put it out there. I have us losing in Carolina on Sunday. Am I crazy? Colm, are you going to that game on Sunday? What's the plan? Who's your pick as well?
I won't be going to that game. It just wasn't working out in terms of the schedule. But yeah, Michael, as you know, I asked on another podcast a few weeks ago just who would be starting for the Panthers after a few weeks, because they have played, I've never seen anything like the QB carousel that the Panthers have had. And it was so obvious to me that it wouldn't be PJ Walker and it wouldn't be Baker. Baker might well be done in the league. Forget about her. Sam Darnold coming in, again, it'll be interesting to see how he does, obviously having been so disappointing last year, but so few expectations on him because of that. I can see why you're saying the Panthers are likely to win, but equally I don't see, again, I think the pressure should be on Hackett. I think that the expectation should be that the Broncos go and win this. The Broncos are the one with the $250 million quarterback. The Broncos are the ones who, you know, you've seen some of the montages, and maybe people listening, I don't know if whether they will or not, but there were certainly montages out there this week of all of the people talking over the summer months, the NFL talking heads about going to the Super Bowl, and the Broncos are the most exciting team in the league, and Hackett was a home run hire, et cetera, et cetera. So I think the expectations should be there. Cortland Sutton is there. We don't know. Jerry Jeudy is day to day. We know that the defense, where, you know, is how good they are, and they should be getting more players back. The Panthers are awful. You know, they're going to be looking for their own head coach. They don't have a franchise QB. So to me, there shouldn't be any reason that the Broncos can't go and win it. Now, this could be an absolute 6-3 game. This could make the Jets and the Patriots seem like a thriller, because I don't have any faith in either of these two teams' offenses. And that is, you know, something that is deeply concerning. But I am going to say the Broncos can and should win. And the expectation should be that Nathaniel Hackett and his coaching staff improve, and that we actually score more than 20 points. When we did that, Michael, the kind of second half of the season kind of preview, one of the things I said was my one thing I wanted was to see the team score more than 20 points per game. Well, that hasn't happened thus far. I didn't think it was too big of an ask, and fair to say I've been incredibly disappointed.
Stuart, my friend, what's your thoughts on this game on Sunday? Just round off the show. I do think we're going to lose. I see this as the perfect game for us to lose, in the sense of it can't get much worse than this. I have Sam Darnold scoring 3 passing touchdowns and the Panthers getting 1 or 2 rushing touchdowns and winning this game 34-14. Shakalaka. Now, I hope it is every week if I pick against the Broncos now on the goal and win. It looked very much like they might have done that against the Raiders, and then they completely wrecked the bed. So I'm going to say we're going to lose. Who have you got on Sunday?
Yeah, this is the second last game I have the Broncos winning this season. And I have absolutely no scientific evidence as to why. I've nothing. I just have a feeling that they'll win. I think mainly because Christian McCaffrey no longer plays for the Panthers, thank God. I think Sam Darnold, I know everybody talks about that. I'm seeing ghosts out there when he played against the Patriots, but let's not forget we scrambled Sam Darnold a while ago last season, I think, as well. He's not a very good quarterback. They don't have a huge amount of weapons. I know Moore is a decent wide receiver, but I'd expect Sertan to take him out. I just think occasionally even dreadful offenses can click, albeit briefly. Like there were times when Drew Lock's offense scored a lot of points against the Texans. Drew Lock's offense scored a lot of points against the Panthers, actually, as it transpires. I can see us scoring over 20 points, and I think we'll win this 21-10. Because the Panthers' defense played really well against the Ravens. I watched a little bit of that game. They do have a good defense.
Well, look at the game against the Bucs. Sure, that's what worries me. The defense, and obviously Brady was atrocious, but
they beat the Falcons as well. And
yeah,
I mean, even they lost against the Falcons and previous 2 weeks.
The Niners went to Carolina and blew them over in the first few weeks of the season. I think it was after one of the London games. They blew them out of the water, but they have been okay defensively at home so far this season, especially
when they've had the good defense. Yeah, they are. They're a decent defense. So that, but I don't know why. I just think we're going to win this game. And I think we'll beat the Cardinals in a few weeks' time, and then we'll lose all the others. I think I have us finishing 5-12.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Or maybe 6-11 by some kind of minor miracle. But if you ask me now, what would I bet on? I would say we're going 5-12.
Colin, you've one final point to make, my friend.
Yeah, just I had the opportunity, I suppose, to watch Sunday Night Football in full after the Broncos game, and it was like watching a different sport. And I say that as somebody, I don't have any belief in the Chargers wide receivers or their tight end. I think their weapons are horrific. But watching Mahomes and Justin Herbert go up against one another and duel it out was just phenomenal. The two QBs, fantastic. If Herbert gets weapons around him, we're in trouble. And we're in trouble given that since 2020, we are 2-13, I believe, in the division. And, there aren't words for how bad that is, right? And this is a division where, it's not like it's been lights out. It's not like the Raiders have been, look at the Raiders' wins this year have come against us and the one win Texans. We all know the problems that the Chargers have. And yeah, we know all about our inability to be competitive or be the Chiefs. But we have to figure something out. I mean, that's how you could be in your division. And that's what I mean when it comes to root and branch reform and really examining where we are at in February. And we need to absolutely, get away from these expectations of Super Bowls or anything like that. And we need to actually get back to having a winning season, because the Jets benching Zach Wilson, it's going to be very interesting to see how that goes. Are they for a playoff spot? But right now, us and the Jets have the longest playoff drought in the NFL.
Okay, I'm going to bounce and watch Canada in the World Cup. But lads, it's been a pleasure chatting. This is always Broncos Planet Pampers on Sunday. You can check us out at @Michael_NFL on Twitter, at Colum from Cork, Colum. If you're in Minnesota, give him a shout on Sunday. And at Purple Heart TC for Mr. Roach at the bottom of this Zoom call. Lads, let's ride. Chat to you next week. Let's ride. Go Broncos.
Go Broncos.
Go Broncos.